Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio. This is the 193rd edition of the program. And on the broadcast today, we are going to be looking at the realities of corporate land theft in Madagascar. I had a conversation with Mami Rakontudranibi of the Collective for the Defense of Madagascar Lands. This is an intergenerational struggle that is challenging the involvement of corporate agriculture in Madagascar today, looking at the role of international corporate food conglomerates in doing monocropping, and the rights of local landowners and indigenous landowners, essentially, who are being forced off their land. Mami is an incredible land defender based in Paris, France. She's exiled from Madagascar due to her lifetime of activism. And it was really a pleasure to speak with her at Place de la République in Paris. Here's our conversation. Well, we're in Place de la République here in Paris, and you're deeply involved in Madagascar solidarity work. So I before we get into the specifics, maybe you can just introduce yourself.
Okay.
And for people listening, you'll hear that we're right in the middle of the city, so we're sitting together.
Okay. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak of our work in the collective TANI. We are here in Paris, but I'm going to speak of the work we are performing for Madagascar. Thank you to invite me in the Place de la République, where it is very interesting, and there are a lot of people that allows me to be free in my speech and in my reflection. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So we decided in 2009 to create a new organization in Paris while we were working in several associations for Madagascar concerning, for example, education, water, or something like that. And in 2009, we had to create a new organization dedicated to land and to defend land against Malagasy lands, against land grabbing, because there was a project about which the news came from the Financial Times concerning an agreement between the government and the company from South Korea called Daewoo Logistics that tried to lease 1,200,000 hectares of land for 99 years. So we didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
We tried to know a lot of things in a very short time.
Yeah.
And we decided to launch a petition that was spread worldwide. And a lot of people, I think there was 30,000 people from 20 countries, I think.
Wow.
Who signed, and I think it participated in the to stop the project.
Wow.
But in fact, in Madagascar, there was already demonstration across the roads in the capital, Antananarivo, against the president. The demonstration and the actions against this land grabbing project was only a drop that allowed to put the president down, because he had to leave.
Yeah, he was forced to resign.
Exactly. And from that time, we discovered a lot of land grabbing cases in Madagascar. We started in working on agriculture projects. There were a lot. And then a few years after, we had to work on against mining projects, because there were also several big ones that had negative consequences on people. During these first years, we discovered through a petition that people coming from a region at the center-south of Madagascar, that complained against land grabbing, and the case against which they called to be helped and supported was done by an Italian company named Tosi Green. From that time, we published a lot of communique and a lot of papers in order to explain what was happening, in order to call for support from everybody worldwide, because we were in Paris and not in Madagascar, so it was our main public. And that allowed us to be heard by an Italian NGO called Recomon. And Recomon sent one of its members to Madagascar in order to see and to listen to communities affected by Tosi Green project.
Can you just say the name of the Italian company again?
The Italian company is named Tosi Green.
Okay.
And this visit of Italian colleague, who was accompanied by Malagasy colleagues from a big organization working on land, we succeeded in collecting a lot of data concerning different cases through the island in different sectors, mining, agriculture, etc. And the booklet allowed us to show and to have several data concerning what is happening to, what was happening to communities, local communities, when their land was grabbed and when there was, for example, an agribusiness project coming in their region.
Yes. Well, I would just ask you, for the people who are listening, you've used this term a number of times in relation to the Italian company, but also in relation to the South Korean company that was defeated, essentially. Land grabbing. So some people listening will know what that means, but a lot of people won't, so unfortunately.
Okay.
So can you just describe for you, what does land grabbing mean, and what does it mean specifically in the context of Madagascar?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for the question. For us, we speak of land grabbing as soon as the rights of communities are violated. Often in the land grabbing cases, the land rights of people are not respected, mainly in Madagascar, because the law on land are very bad and not in favor of people, but from a long time in favor of investors, and before that in favor of colonialists, because we were a French colony in the past. And in fact, the law requires papers to prove and to document the property. Mm-hmm. And it is so difficult, so expensive to get this paper, that very few people from peasants or farmers or rural population obtain this paper. So all people who don't have this title, its name title, land title, is has a very precarious conditions.
Yes.
Concerning the land. And we call land grabbing every case where this land, this traditional, this customary land's rights are not respected, but violated by other people.
In the Canadian context, this would be understood as indigenous land rights.
Exactly, that's exactly the same. But as we are not considered as, how to say this, indigenous, because we come from several, most of Malagasy people are coming from other countries and started to live in the island after a few generations. We don't have, we are not considered as indigenous, and we don't benefit of the indigenous laws in the world,
United Nations,
exactly.
So, but just to be clear, the people of Madagascar were existing and living in Madagascar for generations before colonial powers came there.
Exactly. According to the history, the first inhabitants in Madagascar came on the island around the 15th or 16th century.
Okay.
And the colony started at the end of the 19th century. So we had time to mix together, to have a culture, etc. But we are not recognized as indigenous.
Okay. So to understand a bit more this question of land title, because when we think about land grabbing, it brings up a lot of questions about our understandings of how colonialism works, because often we think of colonialism, often today there's more understanding of it in relation to like history and nation states, but in the context of Madagascar we see it echoed through corporations. And so can you talk a little bit more about the particular campaigning that you're doing in the moment in the context of this Italian corporation company, and how it relates to sort of contemporary models of colonization through corporations?
Okay, so during several centuries, Malagasy laws and traditions did not allow foreigners to own land in Madagascar. But when colonialism came, they put in place the first law who requested that to own your land, you need to have this title, very difficult to get. In fact, they put this law in place in order to become themselves owners of land in Madagascar. And after several years, because Madagascar has not changed the laws where at the time of independence, this land title is still existing. And in fact, the leaders of the country do a lot of things in order to attract foreign companies to get land in Madagascar.
Yeah, I see.
So, for example, this South Korean company answered an appeal from the government, and we have a lot of cases where the companies come because the government, the Malagasy government, all governments, not only one of 2009, for example, but even those who came after this, go on calling investors to come and to get land in Madagascar. So now we have a law concerning investment that allows not individuals but companies to get land and to become owner of land in Madagascar.
So there's a direct tie here between colonial legislation and corporate legislation.
For me, the Malagasy leaders decided to continue the colonial policy by just changing at the top of the country, the replacing the French colonialists by Malagasy. So it's a pity, but in addition, the Malagasy governments are not able to have gain and develop the country adequately. So the country has a lot of debts.
Yeah.
And because of this, I think the decisions and laws are in favor of investors because the government has no good politics, but in addition has no power to resist to all proposals. That's why for us, the local communities are really suffering in all parts of Madagascar of these laws and this land policy of the state. And we participate in the debates concerning this.
I see. So let's get into some of the specifics now about this Italian corporation. So please name the corporation again and speak a bit about how it relates to all the systemic issues that you've been addressing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when this Italian company came to Madagascar in 2010, it starts with discussing with mayors and leaders, political leaders in Madagascar. And while at that time we had a small change in law that recognized the customary rights, but all laws in Madagascar are still written in French. So the population, and mainly the rural one, is not aware of all laws. At that time, the people who promoted the project make the population think that all land belongs to the state and that they have no right on their, their ancestral land. And even if there were resistance and refusal from the population, the company succeeded in getting land and in signing a contract with the state.
Okay.
The first one in 2012 and the second one in 2018.
Okay.
The company didn't use violence. In fact, they use a specific kind of violence that was when, for example, a village inhabitants refused to give their land. They plowed with a tractor. C'est comme ça qu'on dit? They plowed all the land around the village. And at that time, the villagers, who were mainly herders, could not go outside in order to make their zebu.
The grazing.
And at the end, they leave their village in order to go elsewhere. And that was the first system they used. And later on...
So it's territorial violence.
Yeah. And later on, when they started cultivating jatropha, that is an agrofuels, when the cattle goes through the jatropha's fields, they had to pay a very, very expensive, how to say this?
Tax.
Tax, yes. So the villagers decide again to go elsewhere in order to avoid this situation. That's what I just described is called by the inhabitants of Iurumbe, is the region affected. The inhabitants of Iurumbe call this a forced eviction because it's really the consequence. And when the company started working and planting monocultures of agrofuels, Jatropha, in the first time, it didn't work well, so they replaced it with corn, maize. And this corn was not for human, but for how to say
livestock.
Yeah, for livestock
for gasoline.
No, not for gasoline. Poulet, comme on dit.
It was animal feed.
Yeah, animal feed. Yeah. And when they cultivated this, the area dedicated to grazing fields were very restricted, while it was the main way of, how to say this?
It was essential
living
for the villagers' survival.
Exactly. Yeah. In addition, when the maize was collected by engines, and when there are seeds on the ground, the company did not allow people to collect them in the first years, during some years, when people collected these seeds and, for example, sold them at the market, some of them have been arrested. And then, after discussion and negotiations, the civil society organizations succeeded in making the company agree that people collect the seeds. And even in this case, they were not allowed to eat the corn seeds, but have to sell them to the company at a very, very low price. So this is the second point that showed for us that the food security of people were really affected by the company activities. And another point was concerned water, because in parallel with corn, the company cultivated the geranium to have essential oil, and geranium needs a lot of water. The company put in place dams and hydraulic systems in order to attract water from two rivers towards the geranium fields.
Wow.
And that decreased the water available for rice and other fields of farmers. After two or three visits on the ground, because before that we always spoke of land, but we didn't take care of details and other species. How to say this? Agricultural and other consequences. 2 years ago, we started with other organizations to work more carefully on these negative consequences. And the opportunity that helped to do this was that a bank, a public bank in Belgium named Bio, gave money and to this company, this Italian company, with another one from Finland. So the Belgian organization said, we don't agree that our tax is used to help Landgraber company in Madagascar. And all these activities that I don't have time to describe led us to put in place a coalition of European organizations here in Europe with Belgian, Italian, and Malagasy from France in place with two lawyers, two Italian lawyers that who helped us a lot. And that led us to put in place, after studying and looking for best ideas, we decided to submit a complaint to the national contact point of Italy in the scope of OECD, how to say this?
Tribunal.
Well, directives concerning multinationals.
Okay, yeah.
And we succeeded in submitting this document on the 13th of October.
Congratulations.
And describing all violations of human rights, but in addition to this OECD directives. And we organized a press conference the same day in order to make worldwide know what was happening to this community in Yurumbe affected by this Italian company activities.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That was a conversation with Mami Rakontundare Nibi of the Collective for the Defense of Madagascar Lands. She is based in France, but has been involved for many years internationally, challenging the role of corporate agriculture in doing land grabbing in the country of Madagascar. This is, of course, connected to colonial histories. Generally speaking, you can find more information on this topic through the website farmlandgrab.org. This has been another edition of Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. We air every week on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CJLO 1690 a.m. in Geauguiague, Montreal on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, BC on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and Saturdays at 7 a.m., as well as on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto at 5:30 a.m. on Fridays. And we air on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. And we also are a podcast. Look us up on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much to Mami for being on the program this week. And I will talk to you soon. Take care.